I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up and we share whatever we've been up to recently and been really enjoying. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant to right now and the things that a lot of people might be thinking about but aren't always having the conversation about. If you enjoy this, hit subscribe and you will get a new episode every Wednesday. And get in touch with us. We want to know your thoughts. We want to hear your opinion on the topics we discuss and let us know what you want us to talk about in the future. Happy weekend, my dear. How are you? How has your week been?
It's not been too bad. It's been a little bit busy work-wise. I've not done as much exploring as I wanted to do, but we're in this area for a while, so I'm not too worried about it. But just been one of those weeks where there's a lot going on, and
It
it's
happens.
honestly, yeah, it's on. Like it feels bizarre. It's that we've not really left the apartment that much during the day. We just work all day and then go out in the evening. I'm like, I don't know. It always feels wrong when you're in a new place, but also just got to accept that I need to get some work done. So
I mean that's a really great example now though of like the digital nomad lifestyle of like, yeah, it might look like it's all cute cafes and like working for an hour and then being off for the rest of the day. But the reality is that you still have a job, you still have commitments. Like it's not all like sunshine and beaches.
oh yeah, I mean, and also a classic, like, don't believe what you see on social media as well. Like I wish I was doing all of that fun stuff every single day, but gotta pay for it somehow. So gotta work just like everyone else. But yeah, no, it's we are in Hoi An still, so City of Lanterns, which has been very beautiful. I also got really excited because I read a blog post. So once a month they have full moon festival here, and they turn off all artificial lights in the city, and there's only lanterns on.
Oh,
And
wow.
I read a blog post, and it said it was the 11th of August, and I was like, oh my God, as if we have happened to time it when we're going to be here for it. So it's yesterday, and we walked into the old town at like 6:30, so just after sunset. I'm like, why are all the artificial lights on? Like looking around, like what the hell, like what is going on? And I look at this blog post and I realize that it's the dates for 2022, and that was the date for last year. So
Was
I
gonna say, I hate to tell you, but we had this is going to sound so stupid. It's the full moon everywhere.
You know what? That's not a stupid question because I actually don't know the answer. Like I
I was
kind
gonna
of
say,
assume it is, but it actually it. Oh God, this is going to be one of those
I don't.
questions people listen to and they're like, "How can you not know this?" I actually don't know.
I was thinking like, oh, our full moon. I was like, the full moon was last week. Then I was like, but is it the full moon or is it our full moon? Are you in a different hemisphere? Maybe it matters if you're in a different, but then it's the moon, isn't it? There's only one
The
moon.
actual full moon date for this month, but it's based on their lunar calendar, but it's the 29th of August, so it's at the end of this month,
But
so
no, that
it's
would make
not been
sense.
yet.
No, that would make sense because last Monday, like the early last week, was the full moon because that was basically how I was like, oh, that's why I felt really anxious and had a panic attack because obviously it's the full moon.
Just blame it all on the full moon. I love that. I love that as I've aged, even though I don't believe, like, don't really look at horoscopes or don't really believe in anything like that, but then have a bad week. I'm like, oh, look, it's the full moon. That must be it.
Yeah, I was like, oh well, it's definitely not me not managing my stress and being overworked and having too much on and having a house move and everything else. It's definitely the moon. I cannot blame the moon for everything. I'm gonna have to Google it and find out.
Yeah,
Hold on.
well, maybe we should just look it up and put it in the show notes and then cut
I'm
this
going to
out
look it
if
up
it's
right
been a really
now.
stupid question.
Is the full moon? Is the full moon the same everywhere? Okay, this is quite a commonly Googled question. Yes, everyone sees the same phase of the moon. People north and south of the equator do see the moon's current phase from different angles, though. If you've traveled to the other hemisphere, the moon would appear in the same phase as it is at home, but it would appear upside down compared to what you're used to. That's what NASA has said.
Okay, we'll go with NASA. They probably know their stuff.
Did you know that NASA does not stand for North American Space Agency?
What does it stand for?
I don't know, but I found this out very recently. Hold on. God, this is like a very niche. Because it stands for National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Because I was like,
Feel like they've
obviously.
set everyone up to fail on that.
Right? I was like, obviously, I'd never even questioned it. I was like, it's the North American Space Association. And then I was watching the news and they were talking about something in space. And they said, the National Aeronautics Space Administration, also known as NASA. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And like,
God.
it really threw me there. And then I was like, oh, I guess that like Canada probably have their own space program, so you couldn't call it the North America Space Administration, like the North America space thing. But I just, yeah.
Oh, wow. What an educational start to the podcast then.
I know. What have you been loving in the past week or so? Please do tell. God, what backwards way to structure that sentence?
What I have been loving in the past week that I will share is another book. And I don't know what it is about me and Japanese translations, but I love them. This one's called Before the Coffee Gets Cold. And
This has been on my list for so long. I
oh
really
my
want to read it.
God, it is so good. So it follows this fairly obscure coffee shop that's down an alleyway in Tokyo, and it's been serving coffee for over 100 years. But it's also unique in that it offers customers the chance to go back in time. And I think there's actually three books in the series, and they all follow different like characters in each one. But I've just read the first book, and it's split into four sections, and each one follows a visitor to the cafe who uses the cafe's special abilities to allow them to go back in time. And one is a wife who goes back to see her husband before he has Alzheimer's. This is not spoilers, by the way. This is literally on the blurb on the back of the book. One is a wife who goes back to see her husband before he had Alzheimer's. Another uses it to see her sister for the last time. Another uses it to confront a man who left her, and one uses it to meet a daughter that they never had the chance to meet. But the time travel comes with loads of rules about how they can go back, where they can sit. They can't change the past, but they have to return before the coffee gets cold. And honestly, it was so emotionally endearing and really engaging to read, even though it wasn't like a pacey or like big, like shocking reveals or anything like that. It was really, honestly, a beautiful, beautiful book to read. I did cry more than once. Very emotional, but very wholesome, and just a really beautiful look at human relationships and regret and not seizing opportunities when you have them. And the classic, life's too short, but you never know when it will be the last time that you see someone. Very emotional, but really like beautifully, beautifully written. Definitely recommend giving it a read. And it's short as well. It's only like 200 pages.
I saw this, I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago in Foyles, which, as an unrelated recommendation, is one of my favorite places to go and browse books, specifically one on Tottenham Court Road.
Love Foyles.
It just feels like a magical place. And I also think that part of it was in the time that I would go there and look around, I wasn't particularly happy in my job. So it'd be like my lunchtime escape. And I would go and I'd add all these books to my list. And that was one of the ones that came up really highly. And then since then, I didn't hear anything about it for quite a while. But in the last kind of year or so, I've heard a lot about it. And it's been critically acclaimed. It's been translated into like a crazy number of different languages. And it's the sort of book that just feels like it would be a bit of like a hug for the soul, like chicken soup for the soul type
Yeah,
vibe,
absolutely.
with
Yeah,
like a bit of
absolutely is.
substance to it.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I read it really, really quickly. Each like section following each person is only about 50 pages long, so you can almost read them as individual stories in one go. Yeah, it's beautiful book. Really, really beautiful. Definitely recommend.
Oh, I love that.
What is your recommendation?
Mine is completely different in every single way.
Oh, we're not
But
matching anymore.
no, I know. And I did just sit and go, is there a book I can recommend? And I'm like, no, because the book I'm reading is Lessons in Chemistry.
Yes.
So I actually haven't finished it as quickly as I thought, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway, the thing I'm recommending is actually a drink, and it's from a brand called Trip. And I discovered these probably about, I would say, maybe it's more than 6 months ago now. I think like at the start of the year, because at the start of this year, I did think like, I just want to consume a little bit less alcohol. I kind of like, I don't really drink at home generally. Like, Alex doesn't really drink. I don't love drinking on my own, so I don't really drink at home. And I was like, I do kind of sometimes want something in the evenings though. It's just like nice. I like the idea of like having a ritual to signal the end of a day. And I think, especially like in our culture, often that's a glass of wine or a beer, and that just that part of it doesn't appeal to me. I don't always want a non-alcoholic version of those things either. So Trip kind of comes in to fill that gap because it's a non-alcoholic drink, but it does contain CBD. So it relaxes you, but it's you're not going to get high because it doesn't have any of the THC in it. So in theory, it relaxes you a bit at the end of the day, helps you to unwind. A lot of like their social coverage is unwind without the hangover or unwind without the anxiety, which I love. And I just think it's nice to have an alternative thing to drink that isn't necessarily alcohol. For anyone who maybe you do drink a lot anyway, it's just a nice tasting drink. They have three different flavors and they're kind of like sophisticated, slightly fizzy drinks. Like, I don't want to drink Coca-Cola. I'm not a big lemonade drinker. I also don't like diet options, and I don't want to have a drink full of sugar or caffeine. This is like really fills that gap for me so well. And they like, even if you just want to drink less, or maybe you're sober, or as the kids call it nowadays, sober curious, I think it's a really nice thing to just introduce in. And like, a lot of restaurants sell them now as well, which is quite nice because you can try them without having to commit. If you sign up on the website, they've always got discount codes where you can bulk buy them. You can pick them up in like Tesco, Sainsbury's, etc. But I've really been enjoying them as just a way to kick back and relax. And also because it's not alcoholic, you can literally drink it at any time of the day. They do a CBD cold brew, which really appeals to me because we all know I am a caffeine like addict, coffee addict. But it's not great if you also have anxiety. So I am really interested to try that.
I actually had them for the first time on a press trip to Bath, which was February last year. And they were, I think it was like a collaboration they had with the Ivy. And we went to the Ivy and we had these like the Trip CBD cocktails, but they didn't have alcohol in them. And they were incredible. I mean, I'm sure there's loads of recipes for cocktails online, but that was also a really nice way to have them. Like it made it feel like a special drink, like you know, if you mix a G&T and you're after that kind of like summer feeling, but instead of using the gin, putting together a cocktail with that, it was a really, really cool experience. And I probably, if I was based in the UK, I would definitely buy them because I really like them as well.
There's just like a really nice alternative to have. Also, if you're hosting and you know the people who you're hosting don't drink, or you don't like, you're not having a boozy one, you've got a lot of people driving, I think it's really nice to have an option that's non-alcoholic that isn't just Coke, Fanta, lemonade. Like, it feels a bit more sophisticated, it feels a bit more grown up. And they also taste really nice. And also, like, I know the jury's out on CBD, but if it makes you, even if it's like a placebo to make you feel more relaxed,
Oh yeah.
then that's going to do no harm, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like it's a placebo for me, but I got drops from Boots and I was like, can it really be that bad if Boots are selling it? Like, let's just give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. Although that said, I went into Boots the other day and they're selling like Slender protein and all kinds of like weight loss problematic
Jeez.
drugs, which, yeah, like re and Holland and Barrett, and it really gave me the ick because I was like, you guys have cultivated a reputation on being really like great for health and informed, etc. And I think when you sell products like that, which are fundamentally like can be very dangerous, and come with like a whole host of like medical outcomes, but also just like it feeds into a lot of other really negative stuff, kind of just made me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like using their like very well respected brand to endorse them. That feels weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is that not just like one step above having, oh my God, what's it called? Oh my God, the one that everyone's taking in Hollywood, the diabetes medication, Ozempic. Like,
Oh,
it's
I
just
have
one
no
step ahead
clue.
of having a Ozempic.
Oh, God. Didn't even know about that, but that sounds horrendous.
Let's move on to this week's topic. We're going to chat all things career progression today, but how do you like find contentment in what progression looks like for you and how it changes over time?
Yeah, I think it's a really big conversation to talk about being content in your career, because we're told we live in such an ambitious world and we're told to like keep striving and keep reaching for that next step and that next step, the next promotion, the next pay rise, whatever it might be. Plus, you're surrounded by friends, family, social media, where you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. It then becomes really difficult, really easy to lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing in your career in the first place, and really difficult to feel content with where you are in it right now.
Yeah, and I think we've got the hang-ups of that have it all generation of like, you think of like the woman in the power suit who has a successful career and has loads of friends and drinks with her friends on the weekend, but also has the family and a happy marriage and kind of has that, like has everything. She has the perfect body and she has the perfect wardrobe, and you can have it all. And that's so much of what kind of our parents' generation and the generation in between were told. And I think that in itself is really powerful, like positive. It's a bit like the concept of like girl boss, which I know we've discussed before, right? Of like the core of it is a positive thing, like empowering women to have more. But the reality is that it's very difficult to balance it all. And I'm a big believer that you can have it all, but just not at the same time. I think that's a much more realistic way to think of it. But we kind of inherited some of this have it all mentality. Because like our formative years were still surrounded by that narrative. And I don't think it's a bad thing to be ambitious. I don't think it's a bad thing to want success in a lot of areas of your life and to go after it. But I think sometimes we can conflate then not being as successful as we'd like in our career or feeling content and happy in it with not pushing forward. And I think there's a lot of parallels in this conversation. With our conversation we had a little while back about whether happiness kills ambition.
And I think that's it is that grass is always greener mentality, because I mean, I feel like I've seen it loads recently, but a quote about like, remember when you wanted everything that you have right now. And if you step back and get that perspective, like where you are in your career right now is probably where you couldn't even have imagined it. Like 18-year-old Charlotte, 18-year-old Helly, like could not have imagined the things that we have achieved. And yet we're still told that we need to keep pushing for that next thing, and you'll be happy when you reach this, or I'll be happy when I've achieved this amount of pay or that promotion. And I do think the difficulty, especially as women, is that you've got the added aspect of the biological clock as well, because there is so much pressure on women who can now have it all and do it all, or so we're told, but then make sure you do it before you're 35, because otherwise things are going to get really difficult.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting part of the conversation. I would love to chat very candidly to any women specifically. I say that because I do think there's probably an element of this for some men, especially if you are like two dads. I wonder if it impacts you more, maybe. Of like, how do you balance career and having children in what is still a very like heteronormative structured society? I would love to have that conversation with some women who have gone and done it, because I think it's something that I never really understood was a big part of my rush to succeed in work until very recently. And I definitely have that feeling that I have to bank my success now. Like, while I am young, I have the energy, I don't have the commitments, I don't have children fundamentally. I can put everything into my career, and I almost have to get ahead of where someone who's child-free or a man would be at my age, so that if I take time off, or if in those 9 months maybe I'm not working to my best because I don't feel great or I've just got other priorities, I don't end up behind where I want to be when I come back. That is, I mean, there's so much in there to unpack, but I don't think I'm the only one. I mean, I know I'm not, because I've had this conversation with you, but I think if a lot of us really sat down and thought about it, we'd realize that's a big part of why we feel like very rushed to keep pushing forward, and maybe we can't just be happy with where we are.
Oh, 100%. And I think a really big part of that is we get caught up in using other people's achievements as our own success markers. without taking in the context of where they might be in their lives, what their priorities are, the fact that they're in different industries, the fact that they might not even want children, or all of these other factors that play into it. I mean, it's a classic case of FOMO. You see what someone else has achieved on social media, and you think, I need to do all of that. And you're, I mean, everyone's version of success is different, right? But if we're constantly putting the pressure on ourselves to achieve these success markers that are kind of being set by other people, plus we then have the added pressure of being a woman and thinking about the biological clock aspect, it's then, I mean, it's not hard to see, right, how you end up in this situation where you can never be content because you always think you need to do more.
Really interesting. And you were there actually when this conversation was happening. A mutual friend of ours said that they had been very candid with their boss about when they wanted to have children so they could plan their career progression, like almost around that, like what they wanted to do before they got to that point where they want to try and have children. And I'd never even considered having that as like a conscious thought in my own mind, but also a candid conversation I would have with a member of fellow member of staff, like my manager or a member of my leadership team, because I'm just like that almost toxic have it all makes me think that I should be able to have the career I want, do it all, have the life I want, and not at any point show any sign of weakness, quote unquote, or like letting anyone understand, like know that there might be other thoughts going on in my head. And
That's my concern, that if you shared that with someone, it can be weaponized. Like,
yeah,
that's my
exactly.
biggest fear, if you share that, because then you become like a, I guess, a sort of limiter on the business, but or you worry that you'll be seen as that. And then, I mean, I also feel like this is very influenced by US work culture as well, where it's like, oh, well, no longer useful to us because you're a woman, you're gonna have a baby. I feel like it is more extreme there. But yeah, I would never even consider that conversation.
I think it is maybe more, I don't know if it's more extreme there. I wonder if it's more overt there. I think that subconsciously, and I can't say this is because of anyone I've ever met working, but I wonder if even subconsciously you would like we think that. And I say we because I think women are just as guilty of it as men. If not, I think sometimes women are worse. Because we then almost use our own experiences and own thoughts to weaponize the thoughts of others. And it's really hard because I think all of these things play in together. And then you go, how could I possibly be content with where I am and what I've done so far? Because I'm nowhere near where I need to be. And what I do think is interesting, because I was thinking about this the other day, because Molly May recently announced that she was going to be stepping down as creative director at Pretty Little Thing. Now, that is a whole pop culture moment that I could speak for days on. I'm not a Molly May stan, go, I have nothing against the woman. I'm completely like neutral on it. I think there's a lot that you could unpack there. But part of that reason that she has started is because she wants to spend more time with her daughter. Completely reasonable. Like, brilliant. And I thought, God, that's interesting because for a lot of people, creative director, a job at that level would be the absolute pinnacle of your career. Like, where do you go from there? That's incredible. But she's then gone at a very young age. That's not what I want anymore. And the thing that would make me happy is something entirely different. And I just thought that was fascinating because I had never considered that the kind of crescendo of my career might come before I had children. And then afterwards, I would want something entirely different anyway. So why am I trying to bank all this very specific stuff beforehand? Because you like to say someone's walked away from like the creative director role somewhere, regardless of where that is, that's a significant paycheck. That's a great title to have. Like, I think it's really interesting that the mindset has shifted so much that you would then go, oh, I don't even want that thing anyway. So we're racing for something we don't even know we're still going to want.
That this is a classic example of like in why just blindly racing forwards with ambition because you think you need to get that next step is like it's just so important to take that time to appreciate where you are, how far you've come, and whether you are content, but also whether that next step is still your priority. Because probably before she had child, it wouldn't even be a consideration that she would step away from that role. You can't wrap your head around how your circumstances can change your priorities until you find yourself there. And I think that's something that a lot of women come across, well, men as well, like anyone's priorities can change. But I think when we're talking about it, like in relation to having a child, that's a massive, massive shift in perspective that you just can't really prepare for.
And that, I think that's why it's really, really important as well to find contentment in what you're doing now. And contentment doesn't mean coasting, it doesn't mean just settling. I actually think they are two entirely different things. Like, I would say I'm content with my career right now and where I'm going and what I'm doing, but in no way am I sitting back and coasting. There is no way that I've taken my foot off the gas or anything like that. But I would say I'm very content because I think it fulfills like those, it fulfills me, right? Like, I find fulfillment in the day to day and what I'm doing and what I'm moving towards. And you can definitely have both of those things. And it's really hard because work is a really, really big part of all of our lives, like whether or not we want it to, it is. And I know it's a huge privilege to be able to pick and choose what you do to some extent and have a career that you enjoy. But I think that's almost why it's so important for me, more so recently, to sit back and check in with myself about whether or not I'm feeling content and happy and enjoying it, because I have the ability to have that privilege. So if I don't use it, it kind of feels like a bit of a waste as well.
I think that exactly what you just said is a really big difference between like being content and coasting, because being content is kind of more, you've got that self-awareness and you're a bit more proactive, I guess, seeing a bigger picture, but being more proactive about, okay, how much have I achieved? Do I want something now, or do I want something that, am I going to benefit from tenure? Am I going to benefit from gaining skills in this job and going for that, I don't know, promotion in a year's time or 2 years' time? I think there's a lot of self-awareness in being content with your career and acknowledging, like, I'm really happy with where I am and I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I want to enjoy this and kind of build this up. But then I think the other side of that is, if you have that self-awareness, it can also be helpful with, like, say, if you are offered a promotion or a career change or a pay rise, but you maybe decide that the sacrifices that come with having more responsibility are maybe not worth it for you. I think that's a whole really interesting conversation to have about, at what point do you reach contentment and you're like, no, I'm happy. I've reached the point at which, like, I don't want to sacrifice my time or my mental health or my anxiety or whatever for that next step because it's not worth it.
I think it's understanding as well that, like, as you progress through careers and the work landscape changes, I think that's such an important thing. Like, have we? I don't know if we've had this conversation in real life or whether we had it on the podcast about how AI is so crucial to like help with the like economic downturn we're facing now. I can't remember.
I can't remember if it was on the podcast or not.
It was, but it's the concept basically is like the rollout of the internet really helped like get you out of the 90s recession, and then like the internet 2.0, like social media, etc., is very much the recession in the noughties. And although we're not technically in a recession, like AI is going to be what really helps like get us to the next level now. If I can remember the podcast where there was a really long conversation about it with like economic experts, I will link it. But anyway, I think when you think of things like that, you know the career landscape, like what the possibilities are, is going to change so much in the next kind of 5 to 10 years that the next job up isn't necessarily your job, but bigger. It could be something entirely different. Like, it could have completely different responsibilities. It could focus on an entirely different area. And I think what contentment allows you to do is look at things more broadly and go, it's not just a case of progressing upwards in a linear fashion, but and it's not a case of having to leave that industry entirely and retrain and do something else. There's this entire mid ground, especially if you're in a bigger company, where you can go, do I just want to give something else a go? Like, you're a bit more, I think when you're content, you're a bit more in tune with what feels good for you and what you enjoy, and then you can use that to kind of guide where you go next. And I think that is so, like, that being able to do that now is such a great opportunity, because when the work landscape changes loads, you're going to be primed to go, oh yeah, cool, no, I do want to give that a go.
Yeah, and I would say as well, like a lot of that rings true from a self-employed perspective. I do, from my perspective, I find it really difficult to, like, I guess even talking about this topic, I totally acknowledge that I no longer have those traditional success markers. Like, I see you and like all of my other friends, like, following, like, they get PDPs and promotions and pay rises, and there is a very, like, quantifiable, you have worked hard and you have achieved this. Whereas I don't really have any like progression markers in what I'm doing. I can create them for myself. I don't have any of like that external, I guess, validation maybe is the right word for it. But and it goes both ways, because on the one hand, it's like, well, I can make my own rules because I don't really have anyone to compare myself to who's doing something similar that I know like personally. But then it does also mean I'm comparing sideways into those other careers, and that goes back to the, like, I never would have thought I would be working in the way that I am, but it doesn't mean it feels uncomfortable sometimes, and it does feel different, and there is a lot of comparison, which probably is not legitimate comparison, because how can I compare with people who are following a career in a totally different industry? But it does go back to that conversation. If you have no idea what your next job could be or what opportunities are going to open up. So it's almost contentment with like letting go of the preconceived ideas that you have about what, I guess it doesn't mean not having goals, but letting go of the idea that, oh, in 5 years' time, this is what my life's going to look like. This is what my career is going to look like. This is what I should be doing, because there could be something totally different that's maybe even better.
Because if you're focusing on contentment, if contentment is your goal, then that will allow you to quote unquote have it all because you'll feel content. And really, that's all we can ask for. And that if you use that to guide yourself, then you will view opportunities differently. You won't have that kind of preconceived structure of what is and isn't what you should be doing, having an impact.
And I guess, I mean, we had that conversation in the episode where we were talking about like being open to opportunities. As soon as you kind of have more of that mindset, and you're not necessarily measuring yourself on those traditional success markers, then I guess, yeah, there's a lot more options available to you that might not necessarily be what like previous generations have called success. But like you said, the world is changing. There's new technologies, there's new things coming in. You can't measure things by what was success or what was like career success 20 or 30 years ago.
Oh, I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like it's nice to break things like this down. Like I said, I would love to have a chat, just like a really candid chat with anyone who has kind of faced into that thing of feeling like they are balancing their biological clock with where they want to be career-wise, because it's not a conversation I hear a lot, and I think it's one that maybe we do all need to be a little bit more frank about, even if we're not doing that with our employers. I think just as like women or as people who are having children, it would be a really helpful thing to actually like discuss in the open.
Yeah.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode though. We will be back next week with our final episode of this kind of mini series before we take a bit of a summer break. And we're going to be chatting about getting older, how aging is a privilege. We are 30, flirty, and thriving. But in the meantime, we hope you have a fantastic week, and we will speak to you all then. Bye.
Hi.